We're now going to read Luke's account of what took place with Jesus on that first Easter, and it's taken from Luke chapter 23. Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was inciting the people to rebellion. I have examined him in your presence and have found no basis for your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he sent him back to us. As you can see, he has done nothing to deserve death. Therefore, I will punish him and then release him." But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison for insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them. "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found in him no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But with loud shouts they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. As the soldiers led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned to them and said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the childless women, the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if people do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it's dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. "Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." And then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 PM, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment.
But I want to start now telling you a story. It's a story about how I faced grave injustice in my life. It was when I was 11 years of age. It was a Friday sports afternoon down on the school oval. And our teacher said, you know, if anyone lives near, sort of via the back gate on the school oval, well, why don't you grab your bag now, take it with you so that when the school bell ends, you know, at the end of the day, you can go straight home from there. So I thought, sweet, I went and did that. I grabbed the bag. I was heading back to the school oval. And then the principal spots me. Oi, what are you doing? He thinks that I'm skipping school because I've got my bag with me. I try to explain myself. You know, the teacher told me I can do that, but he doesn't believe me. He accuses me. I get sent to the office for the afternoon. I get talking to for how terrible I am. It is such a grave injustice, and I've totally moved on from that point in my life, I can tell you. Now, jokes aside, moments of injustice for any of us are not easily forgotten. Justice matters. And on our Easter weekend, our theme is how to fix the world in 3 days. There are things broken with this world that we want to see fixed, including injustice. We want justice. Justice for ourselves. Maybe you have been deeply wronged, say from a family member or your workplace. Or sadly, maybe in the church. So you face some wrong and no courtroom is able to fix it. Or maybe actually you're sad for the injustice that others face. Maybe there's whole groups of people that you see as facing injustice because of the system of things and the way things are set up. Again, we want justice. Now again, the 3 days we're referring to is the very first Easter with Jesus Christ, day one, Good Friday, Jesus' death, through to day three, that empty tomb, Jesus raised to life. And I invite you to consider that these are the 3 days when Jesus does something to fix this world. And I'm inviting you to look at the events of day one, Jesus' death, through the grid of injustices and justice. Now, we had the Bible read before just to explain. This comes from one of the four biographies we have in the Bible, the four biographies of Jesus. This one's Luke's Gospel, Luke's historical account of the things that took place. Just to orientate ourselves, it's about 33 AD. It's the time of the Roman Empire. Jesus grew up in what was then one of the far-flung outposts of the Roman Empire. And just to help you out here, we've got a map on the screen as well. There's the Suez Canal. We've all learnt you shouldn't park your big boat in the wrong spot. Otherwise, there's repercussions. Of course, 2,000 years ago, there was no Suez Canal, but there was Egypt. And just up the road is Israel, is Jerusalem. And this is where the events of Jesus take place. So I want to point out with Jesus' death, his resurrection, injustices are everywhere. I want to point them out. In fact, in the lead up to what we just read before, Jesus has already been betrayed by one of his closest friends. He's been abandoned by his friends. He's been handed over to the mob, been put on trial, and trial is a very loose word. But check this out. It says, the men who were guarding Jesus began mocking and beating him. They blindfolded him and demanded, prophesy, who hit you? And they said many other insulting things to him. So they mock him, they insult him, they hit him. This is cruel injustice. Now, I just make the point that right now around the world, there are men and women in dark, dank prisons, away from the eyes of the media and the public, who are beaten and tortured. And in that sense, Jesus is like many others. What's happening right now to those student protesters in Myanmar? Do you remember from a few weeks ago? They're marching on the street and then comes the tear gas and then comes the rubber bullets and then the military takes them and grabs them. They think they're in prison somewhere, but they haven't been heard of for weeks by friends or lawyers. Injustice, we want justice. Back to Jesus in prison. He's beaten. He's bloodied. This is the authorities at work. This is what authorities can do to crush those who they feel threaten them. This is injustice, really, before his trial has even begun. And for Jesus, the injustices just keep coming. I want to point out something else. Well, Pilate is the guy we meet there in the first line. He's the Roman governor of the land. He heads up the occupying force of the Roman army. And Pilate has done his investigating. Pilate's not stupid. Pilate knows Jesus is innocent. Pilate knows what's driving this is hatred and jealousy towards Jesus. He wants to release Jesus. And there was this sort of pattern, this tradition that once a year the Roman governor would release one of the people back, prisoners back to the people. And you can imagine there, you know, there's Pilate in his Roman toga standing there in his podium talking to the people, offering to release Jesus. But the mob who've been whipped up into a frenzy want another guy, Barabbas. Let's read again there from verse 18. Where it says there, but the whole crowd shouted, away with this man, release Barabbas to us. Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. For the third time he spoke to them, why? What crime has this man committed? I found in him no grounds for the death penalty, therefore I'll have him punished and then release him. With loud shouts, they insistently demanded that he be crucified, and their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who'd been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, the one they asked for, and surrendered Jesus to their will. You know, this is an injustice of cowardice. This is policy based on the polls. Now, this is giving what the masses want. Forget protecting the innocent. Wouldn't it be good if political leadership always was driven by conviction, driven by what's right, rather than whatever will save their own neck? This all speaks to what we want fixed in the world, doesn't it? Justice. Now, don't we want those in power to punish the guilty and protect the innocent? But with Jesus, such injustice. Now, I want us to move on to just one other moment of injustice or seeming injustice. And this is our main focus for this morning, in fact. And for this, we need to go to Jesus at the cross. And Jesus is nailed to these wooden beams, just hanging there by metal stakes nailed through his hands and through his feet. Standard Roman execution procedure. The pain and the suffering must have been unimaginable. And we read verse 35, everyone is throwing their insults at Jesus, the crowd, the religious leaders, the soldiers, one of the criminals hanging there as well. There's all sorts of injustices going on. But when I say injustice at the cross, I'm wanting us to focus on one specific thing, and I'm framing it as an injustice because maybe we could take it that way. And I'm not talking about how Jesus is treated, but how Jesus treats one of the criminals. Because have a look again at the final words exchanged between these two men at the cross. What a thing that Luke can capture this final conversation between two men as they approach their final hours before their death. One of the criminals crucified next to Jesus. I mean, have a look from verse 39. One of the criminals who hung there insulted him. Aren't you in the side? Save yourself and us. But the other criminal rebuked him. Don't you fear God, he said. Since you're under the same sentence, we are punished justly for we're getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus answered him, truly I tell you today, you'll be with me in paradise. Now, can you see the potential for injustice? These criminals are probably like Barabbas, killers, murderers. What if this guy had killed one of your family? But Jesus tells him, today you'll be with me in paradise. What I'm trying to get at is there is the injustice of being punished wrongly, but what about the injustice of not being punished? I'm not talking about crucifixion, but why should this murderous criminal, just before his last breath, get this promise that he'll go to heaven? Why should he get away with it? See, this moment at the cross, that first Easter, Good Friday, is a microcosm moment of what Christianity is about. Even beyond the death and the torture and the blood, there is something shocking going on here. How injustice and justice melds together and produces something else. I want to give you another story, and I'll get your reaction. But ever heard of Jeffrey Dahmer? Jeffrey Dahmer was that serial killer in the US through the 1980s. He murdered and dismembered 17 boys and men. Horrific crimes defy comprehension. Dahmer was finally captured in 1991. He was imprisoned. And then in 1994, he was beaten to death by a fellow prisoner. But the story came out that while he was in prison, he actually expressed great sorrow for what he'd done, that he'd put his faith in Christ. So those words of Jesus come true to him. Today, you will be with me in paradise, Jeffrey Dahmer. Do you think it's fair, just, that Jeffrey Dahmer simply gets away with it? I want to delve into this way of thinking some more. And on this Good Friday, I want to remind you or introduce you to how justice and seeming injustice meld together in this moment at the cross to produce something beautiful. And I'm talking about a word here. I'm talking about the word grace. Here's an acronym for grace. You might have heard it. But God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Five words, five letters. Let's look again at what this criminal said to Jesus. I mean, I encourage you to go back, have a look from verse 40. It says that he feared God. Even in this last moment, he treated God seriously. In that last moment, he realized he needed to face up to God who he is, that God holds his life in his hands. He stands accountable to God. He feared God. He also admitted his wrong while admitting that Jesus had done nothing wrong. He knew he was guilty and Jesus was innocent. And in a desperate moment, while he just had a few, maybe hours left, he asked Jesus to rescue him. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. He expressed his need for King Jesus to save him. That in some way it's also up to Jesus, that it's Jesus that holds his eternal fate in his hands. And then those words of promise come from Jesus. Truly, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. And that's why this man, this experience of grace and forgiveness, well, I want to say why this experience of grace and forgiveness can come to him, that it's not injustice, because I want to say there was justice. It's just that God's wrath, God's justice was poured out on Jesus instead. At the cross, there's this great trade. At the cross, there's this great swap. At the cross, there's this great substitution. So that the guilty one, so that the guilty is punished, except that the guilt is laid on Jesus instead. Now, you know, we've got Luke's historical account of what took place at the cross, but right through the Bible, we've got explanations of what took place at the cross, like these words from the Apostle Paul. God made him, that's Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Or these words, or once you were alienated from God and you were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight without blemish and free from accusation. See, that is the good news on Good Friday. Jesus saves criminals. Jesus saves serial killers. And Jesus can save you. yes, okay, you're not a serial killer, but you and I are just plain old hell-bound sinners. I want to ask you, do you think it's at all possible that a vile, perverted serial killer like Jeffrey Dahmer was granted eternal life while some sweet old lady you know who never trusts Jesus could face judgment? Just or unjust? The answer is just. Because at the cross, Jesus, who willingly and lovingly went there, that was his mission. But at the cross, our guilt and our shame was laid on him, and God's wrath and judgment came to him. See, forgiveness and grace is offered, and forgiveness and grace must be accepted. As a way of speaking, you know, every person in this room or every person watching this live stream, either you're one of the criminals or you're the other. Scorn Jesus or accept Jesus. Pay the price for all eternity or let Jesus pay the price for you. Now, that man wanted forgiveness. He wanted rescue. And as, you know, he only had a couple of hours to go, what beautiful, sweet, comforting words it must have been. Today, I tell you, today you'll be with me in paradise. I just want to say this to you on Good Friday. If you want it, if you pray to God that you want forgiveness, if you want God's riches, love, forgiveness, grace, compassion, reconciliation, if you want God's riches at Christ's expense, it is yours. Today or tomorrow or someday after that, you will be with Jesus in paradise. And I just want to tell you today, it's a good and freeing thing to live in the experience of knowing God's grace. Now, I've been saying to you today that we want justice. And we should want justice. Justice flows from the very character of God. God is just. And God will have justice against every brutality, against every oppression, against every self-centeredness that actually reigns in our own hearts. He will have justice, and he will have justice on the final day of judgment or with Jesus there at the cross. Either way, God gets justice. You know, what's even better than getting justice? It's getting grace. Put it like this. Imagine a world with only justice and no grace. Sort of like the internet, really. You know, on the internet, someone says something, tweets something or whatever, and it's a complete pile-on. You know, it's an attack. Everyone is out for blood. Get him. He said something stupid. He said something horrible. We're going to get her. You know, the internet never forgets. It's so punishing. The tribe demands justice and silences you or cancels you or whatever it does. So unforgiving. It's like this twisted form of justice and no grace. Well, with Jesus, God's own son, it's perfect, perfect justice. And sweet, amazing grace. Both together. The cross is where it's at. You know, 2,000 years ago, but it's the moment that divides history, and it now divides every single person in terms of where you stand with him. Now, on this Good Friday, I'm inviting you to put your faith, put your trust in Jesus. Reach out to him in the way that the criminal did. Ask for help like he did. Ask for saving like he did. God is just. He will have it. He's also gracious and kind. God wants to forgive all the wrongs, but your past, your present, your future. Jesus offers that forgiveness. Jesus died on the cross so that God would be just. And all that's left is now that you accept what Jesus has done for you. Now I'm going to pray, And if you would like to pray a prayer to accept that forgiveness from God, then please join me as I pray now. Let's come to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ. We thank you that he died on the cross for us. We thank you that he died on the cross for our wickedness and shame. We thank you that we praise you that you are a God of justice and you are a God of such mercy and grace. Thank you that we know the God that you are at the cross. So, Father, we accept and we take your grace and your forgiveness today. And help us to live each day in knowing there is such wonderful grace. Each day in knowing that Jesus died for us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.